freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here on the Red Future. No longer. What am I even saying anymore? Here at GOPJosh.com. You know, it's crazy. I took a 2-month break off this show, came back, saw that Cleveland.com, which is the Plain Dealer, started their own Ohio podcast. The Columbus Dispatch continued their OPE, Ohio Politics Explained podcast, which is just a liberal bleep show of a podcast. And just so many other Ohio-centric shows have popped up during this show's hiatus. And we are still the number one Ohio political podcast in the world. Blows my mind, especially when Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, which endorses Republicans and Democrats, like in the respective primaries, just putting their finger on the weight or on the scale as much as they can. Kind of blows my mind, but also the fact that we remain the highest rated Ohio political podcast. So you can listen to the show live on X Spaces where we're taking calls. You can also call in 574-675-6747, leave a voicemail. You can email me, josh@gopjosh.com. You can do all that fun stuff and communicate however way you would like with the program. You can download the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I guess Google Podcasts has died, but any of the platforms over at gopjosh.com. Over at gopjosh.com, or you can put the name of the platform, .gopjosh.com. They should all be taken care of. All right. So let's hop into the story here. First one comes out of the state of Wisconsin, which is a great state from the Rust Belt, I guess, in consideration for those who do Ohio or political maps. A very key state for Trump to win. If we want to win the 2024 election, picking up any combination of Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Georgia, any three of those should pretty much lead to a Trump victory in 2024, obviously assuming there's no foul play and obviously assuming that we don't have any major upsets like Jersey's apparently in play. But they had two ballot issues last night on their ballot where they had their presidential primary where Trump obviously won big time, but they also had two constitutional, I guess they'd be considered ballot issues, kind of similar to constitutional amendments here in Ohio, where you have to vote to make this official. Well, the Wisconsin Republican legislature promoted two ballot issues. One stops private money funding, and a second one says that only election officials can administer elections, were put on the ballot by Republicans and passed. First time in a long time outside of Ron Johnson that the Republican Party won any sort of nationwide or any sort of statewide thing in Wisconsin. We've been kind of rough there lately. Tony Evers, obviously, being the Democrat governor. So let's talk about these issues a little bit more. So the first one will approved, put forward by Republicans to stop people like Mark Zuckerberg from giving money to run elections. And obviously the Zuckerbucks are very controversial. Our Secretary of State here in Ohio, the biggest rhino in the world, it seems, Frank LaRose, says, well, we took the Zuckerbucks so they didn't use it in left-wing states to do bad things, and we put it towards things that Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't have liked. No, you didn't, Frank. You did exactly what he wanted you to do with that money, and you're just trying to cover it up. But besides that point, Wisconsin also received the Zuckerbucks. I'm not sure if it was all 50 states or just high-population states or who all got Zuckerbucks. But Wisconsin was one of them. Ohio was one of them. I know Pennsylvania received some as well. All of the deciding places that could decide the election in 2020 and in 2024 received the Zuckerbucks. Wisconsin voters said last night that cannot happen again, which is a massive victory for not only messaging in the state of Wisconsin, and the good thing about ballot issues is it kind of teaches you how to message and where to put your words and your money where your mouth is in the state for elections. So obviously we can see here, Zuckerbucks aren't popular. Out-of-state interests sending money in is not popular. And that's a big deal. That's something else that Republicans know is unpopular and can now work with. Also, only election officials can run elections in the state of Wisconsin, which shouldn't have to be said. That really shouldn't have to be a conversation. But it says here, the second question put on the ballot amends the Constitution to say that only election officials can administer elections. That is state law, but putting it in the Constitution. So these are constitutional amendments. Okay. Putting it in the Constitution makes it more difficult to repeal or change. The GOP chairman of Wisconsin, Brian Schimming, said in a statement, Wisconsin has spoken and the message is clear. Elections belong to voters, not out-of-state billionaires. Voters send a clear message that they want to keep private money out of election administration. The president of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Rick Eisenberg, said, whether you identify with the left or the right, ensuring the fairness and integrity of our elections should be a shared priority. Also, it's kind of interesting focusing on Wisconsin here because it is the state where the convention's going to be held in a couple months here for the Republican Party. They're going to hold theirs in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. Democrats very close by in Chicago. They chose a Democrat bleep hole. Terrible city. Going to need probably six times as much Secret Service as Milwaukee. Not only because the actual president is there, but just because, it's Chicago, right? And Wisconsin is a blue city, Milwaukee. But it's a more swing state sort of environment compared to Illinois. And I think it's going to be a lot and very good for Republicans to actually hold their things there. Democrats opposed both measures, which they argue would make it more difficult to conduct elections in the presidential battleground state. They also raised concerns about how broadly written election workers provision would be interpreted and implemented by local election officials. Once again, this is already state law, not changing much. Both constitutional amendments on the ballot were in reaction to grant money that came from Wisconsin from 2020 from the Center for Tech and Civic Life, a liberal group that fights for voter access, $300 million of Zuckerbucks, to help election officials buy supplies and run elections at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic before vaccines were available. All five cities where President Biden won received $8.8 million. 200 communities in Wisconsin received up to $10 million. It's just not a good thing to have. And so props to Wisconsin for actually getting rid of that. It says a lot where we have these swing states actually coming out in numbers to oppose things the Democrat Party, or just to support things the Democrat Party opposes. And it also kind of bodes well because people are saying, oh, well, this one Alabama special election where the incumbent's a child molester is implications on how the rest of the country is going to go. No, it's not. It is going to, these elections are going to have more impact on the way voters feel. And I know it's kind of controversial after what happened in Ohio saying, well, ballot issues really will determine the electorate. No, but in this instance, when it's actually about the election, not about a specific issue, but about the election itself, I think it will interpret a little better as to what people think, and I guess we'll see where that will go here in the future. When we return, Democrats lose it over a GOP plan to rename something. Interesting. The right is renaming things now instead of the left. Also, Nebraska changing election law and the RNC raising a lot of money for President Trump. All that and more back after this. You're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. You're brought to you by our friends over at Patreon, the supporters of this show that make this show possible. We do not promote things we don't believe in. We are completely funded by you and your operations and myself and what we put into it. So if you'd like to support the show for as little as $3 a month, that's less than a cup of coffee from the coffee shop down the street. You can do that over at Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh, patreon.com/GOPJosh. The program will remain free, although I'm not sure how much longer. Kidding, of course. We're glad to be back, as always, here on the April the 3rd, year of our Lord 2024, only about 6 months away from the big election time, big election period. It's going to be huge. It really is. So Republicans are trying to rename something. You know, Democrats are really good at this, renaming the Cleveland Indians, renaming the Washington Redskins, renaming buildings and taking down statues. But what if I tell you Republicans are trying to rename Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C. after Donald J. Trump? Guy Rushtenthaler from Pennsylvania unveiled a bill backed by six of his fellow House Republicans to change the name of Washington Dulles International Airport to Donald J. Trump International Airport. Probably not going to get passed, right, of course, because we have a one-seat majority, a lot of never-Trumpers, and also Biden's president. But it's really interesting how the left is responding to this more than it is just their original take and their original, you know, thought on it. Here's what Gary Connolly from Virginia, which district partially covers the Dulles Airport area. Donald Trump is facing 91 felony charges. If Republicans were to name something after him, I suggest they find a federal prison. Womp womp. The rest of the district said this is just another in a long list of instances where House Republicans have shown off how unserious and delusional they are. Unserious and delusional for trying to rename a building. They said that the Don Beyer, Democrat, said he was at the transit hub with worried families when Trump's travel ban on terror-prone countries, Muslim countries, was fueling chaos at major airports. One of the Democrats from Pennsylvania said Dulles is an old, ugly airport no one wants to see, so I think this is a fitting tribute. That's the thing. Is other buildings that have Trump's name on them are owned by Donald Trump. You have the Trump Tower in New York, where they're obviously trying to take away. We have Trump Vegas, Mar-a-Lago, Bedminster. They're all beautiful properties, very well maintained, very nice, beautiful. People don't sleep on the floor throughout the night because they miss their plane, right? These things don't happen at Trump Tower. These things don't happen at Dulles, or they do happen at Dulles. They don't happen at Bedminster or Mar-a-Lago or any of these places. So I almost think it's inappropriate to rename it after President Trump. First of all, he'd be a sitting president when that happened, and then he'll be a sitting president with that being the airport Air Force One flies into, which would be kind of a cool moment. I'm not gonna lie, it'd be kind of cool. But I'm not too big or massive into the idea of saying, well, yeah, let's just rename it after him, because it's not the best of an airport. Not a beautiful airport, not a fantastic, bigly airport. It is a rundown airport that people don't really care about or go to very often. DCA, Ronald Reagan, I believe it's DCA. Oh, pressing the buttons again, not good. has kind of taken over the airport field in DC. And I don't think it's that major of a thing we need to do right now is kind of take over Dulles. Hava, what do you think? Hello. All right. Oh.
I have a question about, have you heard anything about DeWine declaring a national or an emergency, state of emergency for the eclipse?
I did not. Did that happen?
I saw somebody say it, but I couldn't find anything on it. So I'm just wondering if that's fake news. I see some governors had. I'm just curious about DeWine.
So DeWine said they should be ready and prepared to ensure the health and safety of all Ohioans and visitors. It's an executive order, but it's not a state of emergency. So it's kind of a directive saying, hey, be prepared in case, because there's going to be a large influx of people. So not a state of emergency, kind of fake news, fake news. But I think it's a little crazy what's going to happen with a solar eclipse anyway. So cool. Thanks for calling in about that. So Trump would like to deny Biden's easiest reelection path. Easiest reelection path for Biden. Because let me see if I can find the Charlie Kirk tweet, because Charlie Kirk's been in controversy. So I think he's mentioned Wisconsin and kind of the path that Biden can take to win and the path Trump has to take. And he really outlines the states pretty well. And I'm a big Charlie Kirk guy sometimes. There is that. We need to get back here a little bit more. I meant to grab this tweet before and I completely forgot. Basically, Trump can win three of the states that he's likely to win. I found it. Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Polls show him winning Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Keeping the rest of the map the same, you'd assume flipping these three would guarantee a Trump victory. Why would it not? Well, we have one electoral vote that should be in the Republican state of Nebraska due to the way of Omaha and the way it's not a winner-take-all. They are delegated individually. The Omaha district will always be a strong Democrat vote. So, we would have 268, Biden would have 270, even if we managed to flip Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Now, obviously, I think polling's to the point where we're going to win Wisconsin as well as Pennsylvania, so that this shouldn't be a conversation, but we have to be prepared. There is a bill in the Nebraska State Legislature the governor has gotten behind, and it is Legislative Bill 764. They just had to bring it up for a vote. Republicans run the legislature. Every other state but Maine does it this way. Republicans are less likely to win Maine's district that's leans R than Democrats are Nebraska's district that leans D. And any good Republican governor would just draw the map where it wouldn't be a Dem seat. But that's not how Nebraska works. They are going to keep it Omaha as a Democrat seat. So it's going to be one vote for Biden. And so if we can flip this one seat, we can win. Trump is pushing for this last-minute change, according to Business Insider's Brent Griffiths. It's an analysis. The bill's author says Trump's push says it's unlikely. The thing about weird states like Nebraska, where nothing ever happens outside of like a news story once every 6 years or so, is that the one thing that makes them unique on the national scale, they don't want to change. So, like Ohio, I guess they have their unique heart shape. Not that we're ever going to take any sort of other land, but we wouldn't want to or give up any land because it's what makes us unique on the national scale, the heart of it all. Nebraska has this law of how they distribute their electoral votes different from any other state in the nation besides Maine, where they don't deliver all electoral votes to the winner of the state. They deliver them via congressional district. And if you voted in Ohio, and I say Ohio a lot because that's our primary audience, but we have audience all over the world. Look at the vote. It'll have the first one being president, the second one being by congressional district. That's how Nebraska sets it up. It has to be like a more fair way of distributing the votes. But it pretty much simply is. It's one more guaranteed vote for Democrats because of Omaha. And so this change would bring it to where it's not just one extra vote for Democrats. It's one extra vote for Republicans in a state that Trump's going to win by 15 points, very minimum. and think here, Democrats would never have this in California. Democrats would never have this in New Mexico, would never have this in Michigan where they control the governorship, would never have it in states where Republicans can win or have any extra. If this was in all states, that would be one thing. It'd just pretty much be the makeup of Congress would win every time. But if you have places like California, highest population of Republican voters in the nation, not doing this, why should Nebraska, outside of it's what makes them popular on the national scale? Trump has endorsed this change. You can call Jim Pillen, who is the governor. His phone number is 402-471-2244. That's the number you can give a call to try to make this happen. There's also a number for the legislators to get it through. Do we have the number here for them as well? 402-471-2617 and 402-471-2615 are the two representatives that can get that done. So make that happen, folks, and we'll be even more likely to win in November. Back after this with more news about the RNC Newsmax in the NorOhio segment. Back after this, you're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com, brought to you by Josh Political and Business Services. Logo design, consulting, any sort of business service you might need, or political service if you're running a campaign, you can find over at Josh Political and Business Services. Go to PBS. PBS is in the broadcasting station, but also political and business services.gopjosh.com to take you to our LinkedIn page where you can inquire about all things that we do over there. So that is the link, pbs.gopjosh.com is in politicalbusinessservices.gop as in grand old party, josh.com. Trump campaign and the RNC announces a joint $65.6 million fundraising haul. The haul includes funds raised by the Trump campaign, the Republican National Committee, and their affiliated entities. According to a press release, Trump's fundraising apparatus has kind of lagged behind Joe Biden's, as we expected. This is from, by the way, the Daily Caller's Mary Masters. Masters, interesting name. We'll talk about that later. The Trump campaign has been lagging behind at fundraising as expecting, but Biden collected $93.1 million and had that going on hand going into April. So between the RNC and Trump having 65, we're kind of close. We're getting there. Our campaign working together with the RNC, the new RNC, not the Ronna McDaniel RNC, the RNC ran by Laura Trump and Michael Whately. Our campaign working together with the RNC has been steadily ramping up our fundraising efforts, and our March numbers are a testament to the overwhelming support for President Trump with voters all across the spectrum. Susie Wiles, senior advisor to the Trump campaign, said in a statement, Republicans may not be the beneficiaries of the self-interested largesse from Hollywood and Silicon Valley elites, but President Trump is proud to be supported by donations from voters who are the backbone of this nation, which will fuel Republicans up and down the ballot. Biden and the Democrat National Committee, DNC, have not yet announced their March totals, but the campaign topped $25 million at their fundraiser with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Lizzo and Stephen Colbert, where Lizzo quit music, which, thank goodness. Donald Trump spent his first month as a presumptive Republican nominee holed up in a back room in Mar-a-Lago with special billionaires, while he continues to struggle with the kind of grassroots donors who are powering our campaign. MRR Mazua, Biden campaign, told the Daily Caller, Trump is spending what money he has on everything but reaching out to voters, and it's obvious he doesn't have the infrastructure, the donor base, or the broad appeal to win this election. I think that's really appropriate when they say, hey, here we are with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Come give us money. Trump has been faced with mounting legal fees throughout his 2024 campaign, which reportedly cost his fundraising apparatus over $50 million last year. Trump is a fundraiser juggernaut going into this, Michael Whately says. While he's been the presumptive nominee for less than a month, not true. The RNC and Trump campaign are one unified operation and focused on victory. They're raising funds and making strategic investments to get out the vote and protect the ballot. We are going to win big in just 31 weeks. Both Trump and Biden secured enough delegates to clinch their respective parties' nominations in the contests on March 12th. So, we actually have a competent RNC again. Did we have the celebration music queued up? Probably not. We can get it, though, because it is truly a celebration. Celebrating a competent RNC.
It's a celebration.
About time. And Ronna McDaniel got a job at NBC News for about 5 minutes, made one appearance, they paid her $600,000 and said never come on our network again. And I think that's really funny, especially considering the fact that Ronna McDaniel has had the job since 2017, has done nothing but lost elections since 2017, and still felt like she was rushed out of the job. Like, hey, well, one more chance. We don't have one more chance, Ronna. And the fact that we actually have our nominee being considered the nominee by the RNC, being President Trump, the fact that we have our nominee being able to fundraise as the RNC, thanks to Lara Trump, really shows how we're going to take this country back, and that's by having a competent RNC. And I'm not going to spend the whole show today complaining about how much the RNC is terrible, as I used to do, because we're actually doing things. And I might not be super happy, and they might not have reached out to this show or myself to try to get the young people involved, but I can say that country over myself and the fact that we do have a competent party makes me happy. And I'm pleasantly pleased with where we're going. So, let's talk about Newsmax now, don't we? Because Newsmax went from being a free cable channel on like Pluto TV and these organizations no one's ever heard of and no one watches, where they had a pretty substantial viewership across Rumble and YouTube and Pluto and Newsmax.com and DirecTV and Dish and all these platforms, right? They were on all of them. Now they're only doing those streams on YouTube and Rumble. At least they were last I looked. I don't watch it. They were doing it on a different sort of content. It was Newsmax 2, and they put an actual Newsmax behind a paywall. So this is conservative commentary, conservative news, all these conservative things, but they put everything behind a paywall, which is fine, they can do that, but they're asking your money to watch actual news programming and giving you opinion programming for free. That's important to think about before we go into this. So Newsmax is based primarily conservatives, primarily Republicans, giving them like $5 a month to watch one TV channel. MAGA figures and Donald Trump supporters reacted in anger after Newsmax posted a tweet about a recent speech given by the former president. This is from Newsweek. The tweet has been deleted, and the tweet said, if I can find it here, the Newsmax paragraph, they put in, it was a Reuters paragraph, but the tweet said, Donald Trump called illegal immigrants in the United States, called immigrants in the United States illegally, so not even calling them illegal immigrants, called United States illegally animals and not human in a speech in Michigan, resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and time again on the campaign trail. Newsmax, a conservative, quote-unquote, news organization, saying on their page on social media, resorting to degrading rhetoric he has employed time and time again on the campaign trail. I don't know if this was an auto post that automatically popped up as soon as it came through the Reuters feed. I don't know if this was someone maliciously playing around in the account, but they've been doing damage control all day. Newsmax is fake news trash, Brennan Dilley. Buzz Patterson said they Bud Lighted themselves, unfollowing and not watching. And the amount of damage control they've been replying to random people that I've never heard of. They have smaller accounts than a lot of people. And they're just saying, yesterday, Newsmax posted to Twitter /X a Reuters story that failed to say President Trump's comment about animals at a campaign speech in Michigan referred to violent criminals. We have removed it from our account. And they put the Reuters tweet saying, hey, this is actually our headline. Listen. If you are a conservative news organization and you're using Reuters as your breaking news source, you are not a conservative news organization. If you cannot build the infrastructure, and we need this infrastructure for like the National Pulse and the Daily Caller and the Daily Wire and Newsmax and OAN to have the same sort of continuity that Democrat news sources and left-wing news sources have, we need to be able to say, hey, here's this thing to pay attention to. We need to make sure that this is spread across all the conservative news sources. So have our own Newswire, have our own Reuters, but you're posting it and you're putting it on your page saying you're calling Trump an animal. You're not a conservative news source. You're not even really a news source. Your opinion. And people aren't going to pay. The MAGA people you want to pay for your content are not going to pay when you're doing goofy stuff like this. And that's what Newsmax is doing, and they're digging their own grave. That's why independent media, independent microphones like the one I'm speaking into right now are so important. You can support us over on Patreon. Patreon.com/GOP Josh. And I will not call Donald Trump an animal. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Conservative Crusader with GOP Josh, GOPJosh.com, and PBS.GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. Teenage Republicans of Ohio Chairman GOP Josh here with the Ohio segment of the show where we talk about what's important in our beautiful Buckeye State and how we're going to take back this state from the DeWines and the establishments, all the people, the terrible people in the State House, and all the good people in the State House we're keeping in. So let's talk about this and let's talk about term limits, because that's such a hot take, and it's such a conversation on the national scale. I can't say that I'm a big fan of term limits. Controversial take, I know, especially among conservative groups, and that's going to get me canceled or whatever. I don't really care. When you have a good Republican that is doing the right thing in Congress, and I have a feeling Hava's going to want to hop into this. She's still a speaker, called in earlier. You're more than welcome. If you're a good conservative, you are doing the right things, why should we send you home after 12 years? Why should we send you home after 6 years, whatever the arbitrary number is? Why should we send you home? If you are a good, strong conservative, you should have the right to stay in there as long as your voters vote for you. Same with the goofy liberals that we don't like and we complain about all day and we can talk trash about, Nancy Pelosi. If her voters want her in there for 45 years, the real term limit is at the ballot box. Because who's not going to leave are going to be the lobbyists, are going to be the people that just mess around, right? That actually control everything behind the scenes. They're not going to leave. The only people that are going to leave are the representatives elected by the people. And so why should we keep, and especially in Ohio, the way it's set up, because the Ohio State House is such a ignored sector of the government by the majority of people, that the people in the State House, the way the term limits are set up, they can go from the State House to the State Senate to the State House of the State as long as they want. They just can't stay in one chamber. And people don't pay attention to the names on their ballot, and they don't pay attention to what's going on in the State House. So when Stephanie Coonsey goes from being State Senator to State Representative, no one bats an eye. And it's so confusing. If we're going to do term limits, at least do it right and actually term limit people out. But they're not going to do that. So both the leader of the House, Jason Stevens, and Matt Huffman are trying to change the term limits. Now, it's interesting why these people are doing it and why I'm doing it or why I'm against it is because, hey, get lobbyists, have less influence where they can get the fresh fish to fry. You know, Mike Loychik, as an example, representative here in Ohio, strong conservative the minute he walks through the doors. Lobbyists take over him. Now he's voting for Jason Stevens, right? I can't think of any more examples off the top of my head. But besides the point, the people that are backing the change to term limits don't see the bigger picture. They don't see the lobbyists. They don't see the angle that I'm coming at it from. They're seeing, hey, I want to stay in position for longer, in power for longer. And assuming that the citizen redistricting amendment we'll have to talk about soon does happen, they're not going to stay in power because they're going to draw all the Republicans out and make it a majority Democrat state. But besides that point, Matt Huffman, term limits have essentially reduced the ability of the legislature to be effective, and those are the people who are most closely aligned with voters and citizens. I almost agree with that. House Speaker Jason Stevens is almost term limited, one term left. Jason Stevens made that point last year. Huffman said a 16-year term limit applying to service in both chambers instead of the 8 years at a time restriction currently in the state constitution. The speaker and I are aligned on the concept. The specifics of that, we can probably get that worked out. I don't understand the purpose of term limits, like genuinely, because if you don't like Nancy Pelosi running in her district, you're not going to like the person that gets replaced. You're not going to like someone who comes in and tries to change things in the district because they're going to end up getting bought out by the same lobbyists. The thing is, if you really want to make change on who's in the state house, changing the term limits is not going to do anything. Changing the candidate themselves probably won't do much, but actually taking a grassroots effect from the bottom up and handpicking a random person you've probably never met before that seemed like they're good on the issues and bringing them up is somehow going to be more effective than term limits, because people are going to be controlled by term limits. And it's going to make where Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, is she even still alive? I don't know. No, that was Feinstein, unfortunately. Not saying I want her to die. I'm saying it's unfortunate anyone died. You know what I'm trying to say. Or Jim Jordan is going to have his guy that he props up, or Warren. It's not going to actually affect anything. And so trying to change this is actually a decent idea. I'd like to be in the conversation of that, but I know I'm not. And one more thing for the day, new legislation trying to make it where criminal records will be sealed. And I can't even read the story because, what's his name? Jack Windsor put it behind a paywall after I did show prep. Thanks, Jack. Got a new radio show. Got a new gig. Still not on a podcast, though. Number one here. They're trying to change the way criminal records are sealed. I found it on a different website. Okay. Two Ohio Republican lawmakers want to make it easier for criminals to have records sealed to help the state's workforce participation. Bill Seitz is behind this bill. And if Bill Seitz is behind the bill, if it's a bill, I'm not going to like the bill. Calling it a GROW Act, Getting Rehabilitated Ohioans Working Act, could also reduce the re-victimization and create an environment of safer and healthier communities and families. We have a responsibility to hold Ohioans accountable for their actions, but also to offer them the resources and support for redemption and a second chance at success. The GROW Act offers rehabilitated Ohioans a second chance to flourish right here in Ohio. The thing is, if I do a background, if I'm an employer, right, Josh Political and Business Services, I'm looking for a new financial advisor, a new bookkeeper, whatever we want to say. And I am looking through my applications, and I find a Mr. John Smith here who lives at 1 Capitol Square, Columbus, Ohio, 43001, right? And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, I want to hire whatever I just said his name was. I already forgot it. And I'm looking through, and I'm like, well, I want to, oh, criminal records sealed. Okay, I'm not going to vote for you. Or I'm not going to hire you. Because why would you want to hire someone you don't know everything about? And if I want to hire someone and I look at their background, I want to see their background. And if someone has a felony charge for stealing from the workplace, or they have a felony charge, or they're a sex offender, or any of these things, that needs to be information known to the people trying to have these jobs and hosting these jobs. The CPAC is backing the bill to help conservative policies to get Ohioans back to work. We know that an old criminal record is an anchor around the necks of those who have moved on from a life of crime, denying them and their families opportunities for meaningful work, safe housing, and financial security. We also know if someone has gone 5 years without reoffending, they're highly unlikely to be involved with crime again. And it's already wiped off your record very soon after the 5 years. So it seems like a pointless thing here. And a lot of places that don't usually hire felons, if they're long enough away, they still do. And it's also up to the workforce and the workplace. So I don't think this is a good bill. It's they're pushing through. I think Bill Seitz is term limited out, so he's just pushing through whatever he can to get his name in the news for when he runs for governor in 2 years or whatever else he might do. I don't like it. I'm just not a big fan of what's going on here. And genuinely speaking, we'll see where this goes, but I don't think it's going to go far. Everything Bill Seitz touches turns to nothing somehow, even though he's the majority. What's his name? Floor leader. He's in leadership. Does nothing. He's a blue 22. And he did the bill where he's like, oh, I want to pay Ohioans to go to school. That never went anywhere. I want to hide criminal records from employers. That's not going to go anywhere. So anyways, my friends, that's going to be it for today's episode of the show. But do not fret. We will be back with you in only 2 days. Yep, not Thursday, but we will be back Friday with a brand new episode of the show. Have a dinner to go to tomorrow night. Going to be great fun with a lot of great Patriots and a not-so-great county party. Until then, my friends, stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay tuned. A production of GOPJosh.com. Copyright 2024, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.